Welcome into An Acquired Taste, a podcast about tech, startups, venture, and whatever else we feel like talking about. I created this podcast because I'm too lazy to write a blog that no one reads, so instead I make a podcast that no one listens to. So today I want to talk a little bit about ecosystems. It's something I'm really passionate about. It's something that I've spent a bunch of time in my career in and around supporting, investing in, helping around, supporting, you name it. And I've tried to be helpful, I guess is the best way to put it, or additive to those things. And primarily it's been in smaller ecosystems. And inevitably what ends up happening is people will ask the question or start to ponder the question, well, how does a small ecosystem become a bigger ecosystem? And there's a discussion that we can probably have about that at some point in time. But I want to take that approach a little bit differently, or look at that a little bit differently, which is what keeps small ecosystems small? So what prevents them from growing? So instead of thinking about, like, what do we need to put into this to make it grow? I think you first have to realize there are some certain things that you need to do to make sure it doesn't stay small, so that you're not kind of hindering or, you know, stunting yourself on that. So a couple of things here. So the first one is over-mentored and underfunded. This is something you see a lot, which is happy to help, happy to talk to you, happy to give you advice, happy to do a bunch of this stuff, which is really just my time or my access or my network, all of which is helpful, but I don't have any money to give you, or I'm not going to risk my money. So I'm happy to talk to you, I'm happy to mentor you, but I don't have any money for you, right? Or my organization doesn't have any money for you. And that is something that you see a lot. So you see a lot of people giving you a lot of opinions, but that's not usually behind, or that's usually in front of money, or in relationship to money, or coinciding with money. And that can be very frustrating for founders because they have plenty of mentors, but they need capital. Lip service over actual capital or resource building. So again, this is one of these things where it's like, oh, we support startups that are so important. We need more diverse founders. But then the funding around that stuff never happens, or it happens in such a small amount that it's kind of immaterial. And then it becomes, well, I say I take this very importantly, but when it comes to actually writing checks, or when it comes to actually some sort of financial support, that seems much, much slower to come to fruition. In that same vein, corporate money staying on the sidelines. In small ecosystems, there are typically fewer successful founders that have already exited, that have a capital stack, right, that they can reinvest in an ecosystem. There's a smaller number of independently high, you know, wealthy, high net worth individuals. And if they're active, you know, they've been active for a while. So it's not like they've been withholding all of this windfall of cash to reinvest. So that capital has to come from the largest buckets of available cash. And that tends to be in corporations. Well, when those corporations decide, we're not going to participate, we're not going to invest directly or indirectly through, say, a fund or something like that into startups, that's a major growth limiter for an emerging ecosystem. So if you want an ecosystem to stay small, have your corporate money stay on the sidelines. Buyers don't actively seek opportunities to partner with startups as vendors. We see that a lot of times. So in other words, we love startups. We think they're really important. We want them to do well, but we're not buying from them. Well, why aren't you buying from them? Well, because it's risky. They may go out of business. They're new. They're going to make mistakes. They aren't as big or as established as our incumbents. All of those things may be true, but at some point in time, you have to overcome those objections. You have to overcome those fears, those reservations, if you really want startups and new businesses to succeed in your ecosystem. And if you don't buy from them locally, you're telling them they have to go get all of their revenue from outside of their market. Not only does that make it tougher and it's more expensive to do that, but it also sends a pretty ugly signal to the rest of the market, which is even your own local market isn't buying from you. And that may be for reasons way outside of the control of the founder, or way outside the product, you know, quality or features or value. And that can be, again, very much a limiting factor. Limited investments that are out there. So in other words, like the capital that is out there, frankly speaking, is invested poorly. It's invested in friends and family deals or I once knew this person, they're related to that person that I went to college with, or I went to high school with, or I grew up with this person, all that stuff. And the actual placement of that investment is based more on that than the merit of the investment itself. And so what ends up happening is somebody places an investment, let's say it's an angel investor, and they place a small investment. That investment doesn't work out. They're not going to do it again. That bridge has been burned forever. And so the limited amount of capital that is getting invested in a small ecosystem has to produce results, or at least give the sense that this was worthwhile and I should keep doing this. And if that's not happening, again, huge limiting factor. This kind of goes with the over-mentoring part. In small ecosystems, you don't need three or four programs or resources doing the same thing for the same population. You don't need to have somebody, for example, that is building out front-end technical workforce solutions. You don't need three or four of those organizations in an ecosystem that has less than a million people. You just don't, right? Now, counter to that argument is people will go, well, you know, you have small cities like Birmingham, which is where we are. In Birmingham, you'll have six or seven accelerators, right? And they go, that's too many. They're all doing the same thing. Not actually true. So an accelerator is a little bit different. An accelerator, incubators, however you want to group those resources together. What I would say is they are doing something different. And what I mean by different is they're all unique to themselves. Most accelerators now, most sophisticated accelerators, most successful accelerators are focusing on a very specific market or a very specific stage. And in some cases, a very specific market in a very specific stage. So you could have six different accelerators all doing six different things, serving six different populations. The other thing about that, caveat for accelerators, they typically recruit people from outside. If they're a small ecosystem, they need to have participants from outside or they can't form an entire class. So again, I'll use Birmingham, it's where we are, as an example. We have multiple accelerator programs. 80% of those participants are coming from somewhere that isn't Birmingham, or isn't even Alabama. And then that exposes them to the ecosystem, that exposes them to the state, that exposes them to other founders, all of which I believe is additive. But we typically tend to fund or can fund a lot of different resources doing the same thing and creating unnecessary redundancy. And again, that's just burning kind of capital to the ground. And then the last one is, if and when you do get successful founders that have an exit of some meaningful amount, millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars, maybe even hundreds of millions of dollars, do those founders reinvest? Because if they do not reinvest in their own ecosystem, that's another limiting factor. That's how a small ecosystem stays small. If you look at the majority of all of the startup ecosystems, all of the startup cities that are not San Francisco, that are not Boston, that are not New York, right? The Austins, the Boulders, some of those. Atlanta, good example. Almost every single one of them, you can find multiple cases where a founder or somebody that was on that cap table who had an exit almost immediately started reinvesting in the next round of founders, the next group, the stage before them, three stages before them, angel investing, something. But they went right back into the ecosystem. Some founders go back in and start another company, right? I think that's the same thing as investing in another. I mean, it has the same effect, I should say, as investing in the next crop of founders. However, if you have founders that have had a successful exit and kind of take their chips off the table, which I 100% is their right to do. But if all of that money is coming back off the table, if none of that money is going back in and reinvesting, again, that's another way that a small ecosystem stays small. So just a couple of things here. I would love your comments. Tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me what I missed. Tell me that I'm focusing on the wrong things. I'd love to hear your opinions in the comments. And based on those responses, maybe we'll do a follow-up. Thanks so much for tuning in. See you next time.